You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Hiro Shin and Ty McLaren are the co-founders of Koa, the New York-based men's skincare brand inspired by the natural beauty of Hawaii. The pair met during a summer internship and grew close after university in the early days of their careers in investment banking. Interestingly, they bonded over their skincare regimens and their desire to build an inspiring brand they themselves would be customers of. After a lot of research and product testing, the pair launched Koa this summer with four essential products: a daily cleanser, toner, moisturizer, and sunscreen, which include natural ingredients like yuzu, green tea, and licorice extracts. Their aim was to create an approachable brand to inspire men into a simple skincare routine while growing a company focused on impact and the environment. Here's Ty, followed by Hiro, with the story of Koa.
The story of Koa starts summer of 2014. Hiro and I met after our junior year of college while we were investment banking summer analysts together. We shared a cubicle during our 10-week internship. After that summer, we were both intended to join full-time after the internship. Hiro was going back to Princeton, and I was studying at NYU at the time. And when we got back to Rothschild for our full-time investment banking stints, we again sat in the same cubicle, and it wasn't everything that we expected. So that was when the seed was planted to think about what was next. And we both were craving something entrepreneurial and something that would allow us to apply some of what we'd learned and get more experience on the operational side of things rather than just advising companies and truthfully just putting together PowerPoint presentations.
I think the company's decision to sit us in the same cubicle was their fatal mistake. So we, as Ty mentioned, we became fast friends, and I don't want to say co-conspirators, but soon became clear after coming back full time that, you know, this wasn't something that we were banking. Rather, was not something that we were really passionate about. I think the issue for us was twofold. You know, both of us are naturally very curious people. We like learning new things. I've always been pretty eclectic in the things that we like and the things that we've studied. You know, I studied history in college, right? So nothing to do with finance or any of that. And we found that banking was very limiting in that it didn't seem to reward the sort of creative thinking or sort of critical analysis that we both really enjoy. And then another issue is that we were both working for the technology group, the bank, and obviously the technology industry is super dynamic and exciting, and we saw all these young entrepreneurs doing all these interesting things, and yeah, these companies were just like popping off all around us, and it made us feel a bit trapped, far away from what we felt was a much more, like, far away from the action, where all the exciting sort of stuff was happening. We increasingly thought, you know, how to get close to this. You know, why don't we just try to start one of these things instead of always being on the other side and just writing about them in PowerPoints?
We're pretty passionate consumers. We love brands. We spend a lot of time picking, you know, I'm going to buy my jeans from this brand. I'm going to buy my t-shirt from this other brand. And really thinking about why we like certain products and why we like certain brands really appealed to us. And that was kind of how we figured out that, okay, we want to do something that's, you know, a product that we're a consumer of. Simultaneously, we started talking a little bit about, you know, what are product categories that we really enjoy using that maybe some people don't, you know, don't use yet, don't think about as much. And it came up in conversation one day that we were both longtime users of skincare products. I had really terrible skin in high school. So my mom, from the time I was, you know, probably 15, was taking me to the dermatologist to try to help me with my acne problems. So it's something that really deep down for me, I've been doing for a long time, and, you know, I don't even think about it anymore because I've just been doing it for so long. Hiro similarly had a worrisome run-in with potential melanoma that he had removed when he was a similar age. So, you know, skincare for him was also something that was kind of front of mind in a way that it isn't for a lot of guys. So when we were thinking about, okay, what product category do we like? Like, what products do we use every day? And what would we like to see built? we really got the idea. That was when it kind of went off and we said, this is, you know, we're going to build a skincare brand for guys like us.
This belies our tech background, but we came at the design process from what's the minimum viable product angle. So we thought, okay, for our archetypal guy, what are the products that he needs to have a complete but not overly fussy or complicated skincare routine? We landed on 4 to begin with. So that's a face cleanser, an exfoliating toner, a moisturizer, and sunscreen. Obviously, these are 4 very different design challenges and formulation challenges, as they're very different. And so the first step for us was to really figure out what makes a successful product in each of these categories. And that, you know, the answer is not so sexy, but it starts with a lot of Googling. We read a lot of white papers. We talked to a lot of folks in the industry. We, you know, read a lot of research reports and sort of figured out what the best template for each of these product categories was. And then we went out and started cold calling manufacturers all around the world. And we said, hey guys, we want this kind of formula and we want it at this kind of price, because another thing we're trying to do is, you know, not price gouge. That's something else that we found was pretty prevalent. And of course, you know, about 99% of these guys said, no, we can't do this. We don't want to do this. Like, you're this little ant company, like, you know, go away. But we were fortunate that some said yes. And one in particular, you know, consistently really, really made excellent formulations for us and was really helpful as we were iterating through different versions of our formula to get it to a place we were really happy with. And yeah, and here we are about after a year and I don't know, more than a dozen iterations of each. We're pretty pumped on what we developed.
We aren't doing anything that's super new just in terms of the skincare market in general. It's just that a lot of the advances in skincare and studies about, you know, the use of certain ingredients really has been focused on the women's industry. And now it is starting to bleed over into the men's. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring the level of products and formulations that are offered to guys or have been traditionally offered to guys up and provide really, really excellent formulas that don't have parabens or sulfates or, you know, these kind of chemicals that have been shown to have detrimental side effects, and really develop, you know, great products that guys enjoy using. When we set off to do this, we were very clear that we wanted to have some kind of, you know, we wanted to do something good for the world rather than just kind of take people's money. So a big emphasis for us was trying to set up our supply chain to be, you know, as sustainable as possible. We really tried to optimize for things like picking vendors that had really solid sustainability practices, or picking locations and sourcing ingredients from places where it was not, the carbon footprint was as minimal as possible. And what we're doing on the giving front is we partner with different organizations around the world that focus on ocean preservation. This was something that was really important to us, not just from a company point of view, but our backgrounds. So I'm born and raised in Honolulu in Hawaii and grew up, you know, going to the beach, grew up spending time in the ocean. The visible change in what the ocean looks like from, you know, even 10 years ago or 15 years ago when I was growing up there, it's really impactful to see.
I think by like percent of global waste production, apparel is the biggest offender as an industry, but I believe cosmetics is up there in terms of consumer packaged goods. And so we felt as a consequence of being in this industry, there was a big opportunity to do things better than how people are doing it now. So as Ty mentioned, we're very conscious of how we built this company, not from a branding point of view, that sort of came later, but we're really focused on making sure that, you know, each ingredient, you know, comes from the right place. All of our packaging is made in a responsible way. You know, for example, our factories, we use sort of closed loop water systems. So it's not just about the material, but it's how sort of the lifetime cost of each of our products and our packaging sort of plays out. I guess what I mean to say is that the 1% to charities is only the tail end of this broader process that we've gone through building a better company.
I think traditionally the industry has been kind of wrought with this hyper macho attitude or a really irreverent kind of comical attitude. And we're hoping to talk to consumers and customers in a much more human and much more real way, kind of embracing what it means to be masculine in 2019 and into the future, as we've definitely seen the shift in what it means to be a guy. Another thing that I think especially for men's skincare is going to become really important is this education piece. So really working on creating a meaningful dialogue with customers about why it's important and guys about why they should be doing this and educating them in a way that, you know, really gets the point across. I think the key to being successful is going to be building that relationship, that trust with consumers, and then delivering them a great product.
Obviously, a lot of success in this industry is driven by brand and by marketing, but underneath all that, our products are really, really good. And one thing that's shown that to us in a very encouraging way is that we've seen a lot of women buying our products and leaving us positive reviews, despite not really trying to market to them at all. And so this grassroots adoption by a group of people that, you know, like we were saying earlier, is much more skin literate, and they have, you know, an ocean of options to choose from, the fact that they're going out of their way to buy products from a men's brand and then say, wow, this stuff is great, means that, you know, we think once we get into people's bathrooms, we'll tend to stay there.
Hiro Shin and Ty McLaren, co-founders of Koa. My thanks to the guys for sharing their story. You can learn more at livingkoa.com. Thanks as well to Henry Reese Sheridan for conducting this interview. The show is mixed and edited by Maylee Evans. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.